You're listening to the Sleep in Society podcast, recorded in Kingston, Ontario.
That is the name of the podcast. We decided to name it after all, Sleep in Society podcast. There you go.
Yeah, it only took us four episodes. But
and not one of the options we brought up in any of the previous episodes.
Was not.
Although I think it was part of the website. Anyway.
We're
looking at better sleep equal to better society.
The name definitely makes sense for the podcast. We just did nothing to prepare the audience for this, because I think we threw out about five different names. None of them was Sleep in Society.
None whatsoever. Yeah.
But we're here. Yeah. All we need is intro music, and we're ready to go.
Should we get one?
Well, probably should.
Actually, that's a great idea.
Yeah, probably. I'd say by about the fifth or sixth episode, we should include music. Seventh or eighth will make it seem like we know what we're doing.
And by like the 20th, we'll have it all together.
Exactly. Yeah, and it'll be a full thing. It will sound nothing like the first episode. It'll be a completely different thing.
That's very exciting, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Why be predictable?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why not do something different? You just got back from somewhere interesting, and that's kind of what today's episode is really focused on, because for those of you people who are listening who also go to your website, follow you on social media, know you've been clearly abroad. So where were you and what were you doing?
I was actually within Canada, which is awesome. Seems abroad because it's far away, West Coast.
Yes, seems like a different place, frankly.
Vancouver. I was in Vancouver at the World Sleep Congress.
Okay.
And that started on the 20th and ended on the 25th.
Wow, okay.
And it was a very, for me personally, very intense time because I was taking a lot of courses on Saturday and Sunday. And then there was a lot of stuff on the actual conference days, which was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Mm.
And because it's all kinds of different, it's like World Congress, where all of the scientists, most of the scientists that are anything related to sleep, they're coming to have a discussion on that. So there were several different panels, and my focus on courses was on circadian rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've been studying now for a while, and I just wanted to see where everything was at in terms of the latest in scientific research, what was being discussed, what is the future in terms of circadian rhythms, because I know that is like that's something I'm interested in terms of shift work, because of my altered circadian rhythms,
right,
and altered circadian rhythms of shift workers, and also of all the outreach in terms of adolescent sleep. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when I was doing, most of it was focused on adolescent sleep. So I attended almost every session there was on adolescent sleep. And the second course that I took was in sleep and women's health.
Mm. So tell us a little bit more about the structure of this. So you mentioned that you took some courses on the weekend, and then the actual conference through the 3 days. There's just a lot going on. What sorts of things were you doing? Was it all speaker series? Did you get any one-on-one time? I mean, you mentioned there was doctors and scientists from all over the place. Can you give us some details about what did a day there look like for you?
So the course on circadian rhythms was a panel.
Hmm.
So each presenter came and discussed their particular research in their particular topic.
Right.
And for example, there was they're looking at aging effects on circadian rhythms and circadian rhythm sleep-wake disorders.
Mm.
And they're looking at another presenter was Diane Boivin from McGill University, was presenting what's behind the curtains of shift workers maladaptation. So she's looking at the circadian rhythms in terms of shift workers.
Yeah.
Shift workers, circadian rhythms. And then there was a circadian rhythms metabolism and looking at the physiology of it. There was looking at the genetics, gene clocks.
Mm.
In terms of which is a very big part of circadian rhythms is re-entrainment, right? which we'll go into detail about that later, but how, you know, we are, rhythms require re-entrainment every 24 hours.
Yeah.
Or we will go into free running rhythms, which is, we'll define that in, at a later episode.
Sure.
But what all of those things mean, that's what we, in terms of defining language, we're going to make sure that our audience is aware of all the language, all the terms and terminology we're going to be using.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was looking at photic and non-photic entrainment, looking at impact of light and impact of food and impact of physiology on our various clocks within our body, how they are actually, what is synchronizing and what is desynchronizing us from our master clock.
Wow.
So there's a lot of information on that, and circadian rhythms in cancer, they were looking at that as well. So I'm just compiling all of these notes and compiling everything I've learned so we can have actual detailed discussions and start deconstructing all of these things.
Do you find you have to do that after this type of conference where there's just so much information you need to take? It's not just attending it. You need to take time after to actually like really dive into it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, what a fantastic question, too. What ended up happening was that in between sessions, I would have to go for prolonged walks. So we were at the National Convention Center, which is like very close to Stanley Park. So I ended up going. I have no idea how many. I forgot to count how many walks I had to take on a daily basis because there was so much information, and you can only get saturated. You can only take in so much with the brain going, okay, you know what? I can't deal with this. This is way too much coming at you, and writing and making notes and making all those recordings. It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff, especially when you are keen and interested and wanting to know where everything's at, and and especially because we are trying to disseminate this information to public, I just want to make sure that the information that I got was actual information.
If anyone listening is not following Ruhi Sleep on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, you should, just for the pictures of the walks that you took, because it just the landscapes, it's just so different. I mean, it seems, even though it's in Canada and it's a place where, you know, a lot of people do get a chance to visit and some don't, but it's just so different.
Isn't
than
it
is
beautiful?
From here, from Kingston and Ontario, even just Ontario in general. It's just so different.
It is different. I mean, I'm so fond of Kingston. This is my home, and I love it. I love that we are by the water. I love we have amazing provincial parks and all of that. But what was astounding to me was the forests in Vancouver, the trees, which I am deeply, I think if there was a spiritual thing that I was connected to, it would be a tree. My spiritual thing would be a tree.
Was this your first time out there?
This was my first, time. I've had brief micro visits, nothing like this.
Nothing like a prolonged.
Nothing like a prolonged, and nothing where I went out and explored nature.
Is it on your list to go back?
Well, I'm likely to go back for sure.
Because do they held this there every year? Or
no,
it rotate,
it's like all over the next year. I think it's every 2 years. So the next one is in Brazil, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's a World Sleep Congress.
My question was slightly off topic. I meant in touristy.
I do, because I think it's such a beautiful province.
Yeah.
It's Canada, and I think we should explore. We should explore our country so we can appreciate its beauty. And I think and people and everything. It was totally a wonderful, wonderful experience.
You mentioned someone from McGill and the fact that this was actually hosted in Canada this year. Does Canada have quite a bit of leaders in the sleep industry when it comes to scientists and doctors?
Yeah, we have Canadian Sleep Society.
Yeah,
Canadian Sleep Society meeting also happens every couple of years as well. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is a massive topic.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And, you know, we've just touched the very, like, I don't even, like a micro bit of where we are going with this. This is huge in so many ways, and it impacts us in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And therefore, the name for our podcast is Sleep in Society.
Yeah. Because
It has to do with everything, our biology, our economy, yeah. our society.
It's just great to see Canada on the map in that way. Like, it's not, you hear, especially these larger things, like, you know, the states are hosting things, or at least I hear more about the states being in this or that conversation. But it's nice to here we are in Vancouver, a beautiful place, clearly great when it comes to relaxing. And I mean, the walks you took must have been breathtaking. Mm-hmm. And just from the photos that you've shared, it clearly was. If I was someone studying sleep, that'd be the perfect location to hold this type of conference, because it's great.
They do. They usually, world congresses are at a place where you are able to, and I think I appreciate that, where you know that you're learning a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talk about this a lot, that from you need to take a break from your learning.
Definitely.
And break from your learning, not like by going onto your device, but actually take that moment from learning and go for a walk within your neighborhoods, go for a walk within the park, because I think it really actually helps consolidate that. And I think that part of that is that some of these conferences are being held in these beautiful spaces.
Yeah.
So you're able to disconnect yourself from that, because it's impossible to do 8 hours of straight learning, which I found very difficult, because between sessions there were 15 minutes between each session.
Yeah,
that's like, that was very intense.
Yeah,
to the point where the brain's like, you know, no, like I know when I start feeling agitated, like I was beginning to feel at times really agitated, but there was so much to learn and there was so much to know and there was so much that I'm going, this requires further discussion.
Yeah.
This requires deconstruction. There are so many, like, and gaps in my knowledge, gaps in the knowledge of people who were also presenting as well, that you're able to look at.
So you mentioned you're still deconstructing things, but was there anything that was majorly stand out?
Oh, it's all standing out.
Yeah.
It's all standing out and not standing out at the same time.
Fair,
because I did, like, as you know, you can see, I'm going to, they can't see, but
we'll describe it.
Like, I have like journals upon journals of like notes that I took, because I like to write.
Yeah.
And so I did like a lot of writing, and then I have like special codes that I've created to make it very easy for me to be able to write, so I don't write the whole things. And so it was very interesting too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, is it basically, showing us your notebooks and packed with information. There's so much. Yeah, we can understand information overload would definitely happen. Did you get a lot of sleep while you were there?
I mean, actually, it was really good.
Good.
Because I would, so I did a lot of walks, as I, so I, no idea how many walks, and I did a lot of runs. And morning runs, which I've never done. Because I'm not a morning person. Well, now I'm a morning person, but before I was not a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in usually in bed very early.
Yeah.
And remember, they're 3 hours behind.
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I was usually up early and going. So I did. I was.
That's good.
I was making sure, because my brain is not going to.
Yeah. Any of
work.
Those types of events I've been to where it's a conference or something that's similar, like I went to a youth conference for a week at a camp. The days that were structured where you had about, you know, an hour of your workshop or the thing you're attending, and then a nice long break, and then an hour, and then those are the days that I felt I retained a lot more information, where really half the day was spent being outside, relaxing, kind of getting the atmosphere, playing games, and then it made the hours you spend in your sessions, you would get so much more work done that I always found. So I definitely understand the getting overwhelmed with information.
And I've actually had a very opposite experience. I went to probably about 10 years ago now to some meetings for about a week, and they were 8 hours long, and there was one break for lunch in the middle.
Oh.
Yeah, like, that makes no sense
to
me.
I don't remember anything from it. And
yeah.
I know it was 10 years ago, but like a week after, I didn't remember much from it. So, yeah, it's definitely not the way to do it.
No.
And I do a lot of, like, for me, like, if I'm – and most of the stuff, just to be clear, that it's – I'm not going in unaware. I'm
–
most of the stuff I have been studying now for a while.
Yeah.
Like circadian rhythms, I've been on to circadian rhythms now for almost a decade. So
sure.
It wasn't, like, unknowingly. So I kind of knew – the stuff they were talking about in terms of like definitions and general basic stuff. Basic physiology. I understand the basic physiology of circadian rhythms, and also the way I can. For me, learning is also mind maps, that I'm constantly making mind maps and flow charts and that sort of stuff, because anything I didn't understand, I also have a special thing where I make a note, like, I need to go further into this idea because I have no idea what this is about, but it seems relevant to the whole thing.
So if one thing didn't necessarily pop out for you, upon your return, can you think of a direction, a thought, or a standout thing that now you're coming back saying, okay, the next thing I really want to do is this? Aside from obviously going through the materials and starting to dissect it, is there a topic, an area where it's like, I'm going to begin here? This is where I want to start. This is where I definitely want to begin talking.
I think we've already done that. I think we're already on our way. This is more like going back, and it's like making sure that we are on the right track.
Right?
We already, I just wanted to make sure that we, and I'm not trying to be arrogant about this, but this is stuff that I walked into. Like, some of the stuff I already knew inside out. Like, I knew where they were at, and then I was like, oh, there's a very little movement forward in this particular topic. We'll talk about those things later.
We'll break that down later,
And then some topics I was like, oh, I had no idea. I had no idea about this at all. And especially in some things in circadian rhythms where I was completely, I want to jumpstart onto that as well. Like, especially as they are doing studies, like they're in terms of biomarkers, in terms of, especially in terms of shift workers. Like, that's my main concern is looking at it from perspective of a shift worker. Make it that it is for the shift worker as much as it is for the industry, and more so for the shift worker than.
And you mentioned that had come up with another speaker. Were there other people who came from that lens as well? Like, was shift work discussed quite a bit at this conference?
Shift work was discussed from the scientific perspective. From the perspective of science and findings and what I call quantitative measures.
Right.
The shift work, I think we are still, and we're still lacking in the humanities aspect.
Yeah.
That we are not discussing it from the perspective of the reality of the human beings. Like, these are still, we're looking at just numbers and not the actual reality that the shift workers are existing in.
Yeah,
and I think this is something we definitely are going to be discussing in the next little while. I mean, our conversation that's going to be coming up with Katie Weeks is going to be interesting, because we're bringing in real experiences here.
Yeah, next week we've got a great conversation between Katie Weeks and Ruhi, just talking about shift work and getting another person's perspective. And it was interesting, you know, that conversation's interesting because you bringing in the people, just as you said, it's taking it away from the statistics. You're kind of putting real people to some of these struggles.
Yeah, narratives. We are creating stories of, like, what people are trying to do to combat, because everybody knows that, you know, they're battling against their own systems. Like, you're literally, you're at war with your own self.
Yeah.
And when you're combating your own self, like, how do you come to equilibrium,
or what we call definitely a theme we picked up in the podcast. Yeah. Like, the conversation with Katie Weeks, like, you saw that from another angle as well.
Absolutely.
She almost used very similar words that you did about that. And I think that's very interesting to look at other people noticing very similar trends. Maybe that's kind of where we want to end things off, which is talking about the conference, is this idea of noticing those trends and the statistics versus the people. Like, I know you're not going to go into intense detail, but we're going to put you a little on the spot, because we like to do that every episode. We put you on the spot.
And I love that. I love that so much.
Just run us down the topics that you are going to start focusing on, whether it be on this podcast and the blogs that you create from visiting and coming back, what topics were popping out of, I'm going to talk about this, we're going to address this, whether it's in the positive side of, oh, there's some great advancements, or the negative side, like you've already pointed out as well, we're not looking at it in the right way.
Yeah.
Give us those topics.
I think what I really want to do is discuss what I would like to do is bring forth the ideas that were discussed, period. First of all. And then I think I would like to have a look at it and say, what are the actual implications on me as a shift worker? Well, how does this translate from theory to practice? And what are the positive outcomes of this? And what are the negative outcomes of this? And looking at it from a micro level and looking at it at a macro level. And I think another thing that I would love to discuss in terms of adolescent sleep is the new model of adolescent sleep, which we actually showed an image of, I think, in one of our feeds, the Twitter feeds. And that would be fantastic to start discussing and start breaking that down in terms of the new model of adolescent sleep, because now we're taking into account not just the biology of the adolescent sleep, but what are the societal implications that are impacting the adolescent sleep.
A perfect storm, as you recorded.
Well, it is called the perfect storm. That is the new model. And I can't really wait to delve into that. Yeah. And then have those discussions with our teenagers and the parents, which is one of the things that is coming up on October 24th at KCVI, where we're going to be discussing adolescent sleep and all of my field observations.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to talk about the posters. I did present two posters.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Do you want to quickly? Yeah, we got time. Dive into that.
So
we talked about
Well, yeah. So I presented on the economics of shift work. Mm. So I broke down my seven year. Well, now it's 8.5 years of case study, coming up to 9 years, and broke down the economics of self-regulation, what it takes to developed a system of self-regulation to keep these negative effects at bay. And that was looking at all of the costs that go into it, which is interesting. There was fantastic interest in that.
That's great.
Great conversations on that. And the second one was on the current patterns of adolescents within our community, where they are at with their sleep. And that was also great, because I actually ended up having fantastic conversations with people who are doing amazing work in terms of adolescent sleep from Finland, and Australia is pretty big into this. And Finland has amazing databases. So Finland is going into looking at social media. And they're not looking at, oh, technology is bad. They're looking at what aspects of social media are we in and what are we looking at, and its implications in terms of well-being. Looking at it from an intellectual point of view, kids are using, Reddit in terms of discussions and all of that, as compared to looking at how many likes I have on certain things, those sort of things, what is driving what.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing, amazing discussion. And that's an ongoing discussion between that cohort and myself. And Australia is doing gigantic. Michael Gradner is doing huge epidemiological studies in terms of patterns of sleep worldwide, which was actually that's something we should dedicate a podcast to.
Definitely,
because that was amazing. Because looking at various school structures across and who's really dedicating themselves to sleep in adolescence, which country. And so I had a very good discussion with him. And
that's great.
Was actually, wonderful.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a lot of different topics we can kind of dive into, just kind of working off of this episode, we're doing with your manuscript, like we're doing with a lot of the episodes. Mm-hmm. It's almost creating, even though they're chronologically in different orders, you create little series out of these podcasts where we, we talk about the manuscript, we talk about the sleep Congress, we talk about all these different topics and relate them to each other. So it's nice to have those different options for people who, some people are shift workers, some people have children, some people have, different things.
Sleep.
And just sleep. Sleep's for all of us. So.
Sleep in society, man.
Yeah, there you go. So thanks so much once again for doing this. And thanks everybody for listening to the podcast this week. We'll see you next week for a really great chat with Katie Weeks.
Yeah, thank you guys.